visit with Eileen Murray.
Hello, everybody. Several times in past months, we've had as our guests people who have witnessed strange things. And some of you may remember Dr. George Hunt Williamson in particular, who told us of his experiences with flying saucers, or as they are called now, UFOs. He was one of the sworn witnesses to George Adamski's alleged meeting with people who he believed came from outer space. Now, since my interview with Dr. Williamson, I've had many, many letters and phone calls asking for more information about these weird lights and strange flying objects that have no reasonable explanation. And so, we have as our guest this morning the secretary of the Vancouver Area Flying Saucer Club, Herb Clark. Now, Mr. Clark, would you perhaps tell us a little bit about the club? How and when did it start?
Good morning, Mrs. Laurie. Yes. Our club was organized with a small meeting at which 18 people were in attendance over in West Vancouver in June of 1956, almost 2 years ago.
How many members do you have now?
We have approximately 180 who pay dues at the present time.
That's quite a growth, isn't it?
Yes, this has expanded quite rapidly.
And some of these are perhaps out-of-town people?
A few are. Just a few. There's some in New Westminster, some in the Langley area, and two or three over in Victoria who come over from time to time.
Now, what was the object of the club?
The object of the club, essentially, was to gather together the information available from all sources through books, magazine, publications, and so on, and make these available to our members. We have a library department, and all dues-paying members are entitled to take books out from this library without charge. Further, to correlate local information on sightings and make it available to our own members and to other UFO publications and groups throughout America and elsewhere.
Now, you exchange information with similar groups in other parts of the world.
That is right.
Now, you have there, I see, a document from a very official source. Would you mind giving us that paragraph that you read just before we started recording?
We would like to tell you first that this is dealing with an incident which occurred in January of this year when Major Donald E. Kehoe, retired from the United States Marine Corps and now author of three books on the flying saucer phenomenon, who is now the director of the civilian organization National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena in Washington, D.C., was speaking on the Armstrong Circle Theater over CBS Network when his voice was faded off the air. Many, many inquiries came in as a result of this. We have here their bulletin dated March 5th, which contains the sentence which Major Kehoe was endeavoring to ad-lib into his official script during the transmission. It read as follows. I tried to ad-lib this statement on the Armstrong program, quote, in the last 6 months, we, the National Investigations Committee, have been working with a Senate committee investigating official secrecy on UFOs. If open hearings are held, I feel it will prove beyond doubt that the flying saucers are real machines under intelligent control, end quote.
Well, that is quite a statement, and I have read quite a few of Major Kehoe's books, and I know that he never makes a statement without a complete investigation. And now, I have heard just recently that Mr. Adamski's strange experience has now been acknowledged and accepted by the U.S. government. Is that so?
Well, thank you. We have very interesting documentation to indicate that that is so. To conclude on Major Kehoe, I might just add that the sentence I have read has since been on the air over an ABC network program, which was broadcast on March the 8th. So it has since been clarified and publicized. Yes, our current issue of British Flying Saucer Review from London, England, states on page 2 of this issue with the headline, Amazing Letter Reveals Confirmatory Evidence of Adamski Claims. U.S. Government Has Evidence of Extraterrestrials. Now, it states that in this article, they cannot give the department from which the letter was received or the signer of the letter. But they give this quotation from it, stating that they have seen it. Quote, it will no doubt please you to know that this blank department has on file a great deal of confirmatory evidence bearing out your own claims, which, as both of us must realize, are controversial and have been disputed generally. While certainly this blank department cannot publicly confirm your experiences, it can, I believe, with propriety, encourage your work and your communication of what you sincerely believe should be told to our American public. Now, the sequel to that is a late news item on the back page of this issue. Edward Adamski, see page 2. George Adamski has now authorized press release of U.S. government letter. It was from the Department of State, Washington, and was signed by Mr. R.E. Smith, Cultural Exchange Committee. The full text of the letter will be published in our next issue. End quote.
Well, now that appears then that there are several official investigations going on at the present time. Now, you have also a very unusual document from South Africa. Could you just read us briefly one or two paragraphs from that?
Mrs. Lorry, we'd be very pleased to. This has been received by registered mail from Mrs. Elizabeth Clower of Johannesburg, South Africa, within the last few weeks. Deals with an incident which occurred approximately 6 months ago. She claims to have been picked up by a scout ship or small reconnaissance spaceship from another world on the Drakensberg Range behind her sister's place in Rosetta, South Africa. Quote, there was no sense of motion within the pressurized cabin. I was watching the earth receding through the television, a simply wonderful sight. It was clear South African weather immediately below, but miles away in the distance, clouds covered the surface, shining white in the sunlight. Sea was now leaden or slate-colored with the sun shining on it, and there was a haziness, almost a whiteness, reflecting from the horizon, which had become curved. Surface features now could hardly be seen. Mountains looked like shadows or rifts, and there was a ring of mountains that formed a perfect circle, like looking at a crater on the moon. The shores of the South African continent could still be seen against the blackness of the sea. In the outer fringes of the atmosphere, where the surface of the earth is still visible, there is a beautiful deep blue, a royal blue band that seems to circle the earth. I have never seen anything so beautiful. Beyond that is the blackness of space. Then against this wonderful scene, there is the aurora shifting continuously. As we rose vertically higher, the sunlight reflected from the atmosphere was dazzling, and no surface features could then possibly be seen. That is one paragraph from 5,000 words from Mrs. Clark.
Well, Mr. Clark, I wish we had time to read the whole thing. That was fascinating. Now, one quick question. Where do the Flying Saucer Club meetings take place?
The Flying Saucer Club meetings take place on the first Tuesday of each month. And during the last year, we have used the Peter Pan Ballroom at 1636 West Broadway, just half a block west of the big new administration building of the school board.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Clark, for a most interesting visit. Our guest will be Mr. Herb Clark, secretary of the Vancouver Flying Saucer Club, and if any of you have seen any unidentified flying object, Mr. Clark would like to hear from you. And now I'm off to Campbell River, and very probably we'll see some very identifiable flying objects when Ripple Rock blows up tomorrow. And this is Eileen Laurie saying, bye now.